Alrighty, gents, as we know by now, and the fam knows, Any Given Sunday is proud to be supported by one of Australia's fastest growing men's grooming brands, Nutcare. For all of you following along on the YouTube or on the video, you can see the new offer they've got up now, brand new product, Bear Butt. They've bundled that up with the Bear Nuts, valued at $80. You can grab that bundle pack for $50. You plug in our discount code, Any Given Sunday, at the checkout, you're going to get 10% off your first order. So jump on their website, go get your bundle, get your Bear Butt, get your Bear Nuts, treat yourselves, treat your lady, and support Any Given Sunday as well at the same time. Bear Nuts, get around it, boys and girls.
Brown 45.
You are listening to Any Given Sunday Australia.
Yes, hello and welcome to the Any Given Sunday Australia podcast, the number one podcast in at least three households, one studio, the Gridiron Australia head office, and far and beyond these places these days, which is still unbelievable in my eyes, I think. Joining us, as always, down in his basement with an incredible ad read just there, TC24 at Tim Carty, AGSAU. How are you, mate?
I'm good, brother. They just get better and better each week as we refine our craft. No, go good, mate. We're at the two-minute warning of the last game of the week, but we've got so far a good slate of games in the bank, ready to go, ready to talk about. So pumped for that.
Yeah, we are live on the YouTubes and following along, as you mentioned. I am about 40 seconds behind you, boys, so if you could keep it quiet, that'd be amazing.
We'll live react.
Perfect.
Michael Parsons did just get his first sack of the game, and what perfect timing with a minute 41 to go.
As you said that, I'm just watching him get it now. That's huge. Joining us from his house, which we probably shouldn't mention that either, our first year turned second year at Danny Webb, AGSAU. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm just eyes on this game because of what just happened. I'll let you catch up in about 40 seconds. I told you we shouldn't start until after these 2 minutes. We're going to be so distracted for the first little bit. But such a ripper game between Dallas and the Chargers going on right now.
So what has just happened is I've just seen it, a turnover. First interception for the game.
This is poor fan that she's been on. She keeps getting shown on the broadcast all this last quarter. She's up and about. But, yeah, unfortunately, an interception to Herbert just then. I'm not sure who actually got – oh, that's the sack. But who got the interception? But, yeah, Cowboys are going to be able to kneel this one out, I think.
Yeah, they definitely can. There's no timeouts left.
Gilmore with the interception. Great take. Well done. That's game over. Cowboys fans will be happy.
Yes.
And those who tipped them, both in our episode and our
podcast. All three? Did we all tip them?
No, I tipped the Chargers.
Danny, who'd you tip?
I tipped the Cowboys, man.
I had a good week still. I jumped from like 19th up to 11th, so I'm pretty happy with that.
Well, I'll confirm that in a minute, but let's get into this. FA.
You can confirm it while I'm talking a bit of housekeeping. Our Dan DAZN, Dan's in Game Pass
DAZN.
Code.
DAZN, are we sticking with DAZN?
I'm going to stick with DAZN, even though I don't actually think that's it, because they have other, they branch out in other products, but we're going to stick with DAZN.
DAZN.
Make sure you hit up our link tree and find all of our links, and the DAZN Game Pass link is still there. It's coming down. If it is... monetary reasons that you don't want to go for it, it comes down pretty much every week. With what, 10 weeks to go, it's a perfect time to get it leading into the playoffs. You get it for the playoffs as well. So I actually, my own experience, I love it for the 4 a.m. and 7 a.m. slot of games. You can have three or four games going at once or follow on with Red Zone. Red Zone is absolutely elite. I don't think we give Red Zone enough credit for how good of an actual show that is. I'll be reaching out to Red Zone to see if we can get them on here for a chat, because it's an incredible, incredible show. Also, our merch store. I am currently the only one actually rocking gear from the merch store. You boys rocking your own teams.
The boys got it done when they had the pressure of lock of the week. I'm going to represent. Sorry about
that. Yeah, fair enough. Packers got it done too. We had a pretty impressive win against the Bye. Why are you wearing the Eagles, Danny?
They need all the support they can get right now. That was bloody ugly, and we'll get to that later.
We will. But where can you find – you could have worn – oh, you wear it every day, so it's probably in the wash. Where can you find all of our merch store, Danwa?
Linktree. go to our link tree. Everything's on there.
It is everything on there. Smart.
On the Insta, but it's anygivensunday.dustholdermat.com. But just jump in the link tree. Way easier for everyone.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Just quickly, for anyone that was following and waiting, you are actually currently in 15th, not 11th, and you're going to drop to 15th because you tipped the Chargers.
So I'm going to stay in 15th, am I?
No, you're going to drop to, you know, you're 14th. You're going to drop to 15th.
Ah, well, I was like 20 out of 22. So I'll still take the climb.
Little climb. It's a little climb.
I'll take, hey, victories. All right. It was a pretty big week with results, but there was also a pretty big week of injuries. So we'll get straight into it.
Calling Dr. Danny's office.
And Dr. Danny's office is brought to us by our good friends C2C Rare Threads, who have just had their opening weekend. Just looking on their website now, for those that are on the YouTube, you can see things like their sneakers. Oh, there we go. A nice custom, I don't know, Green Bay Packers sweater on there. Amazing quality. Air Jordans. It's incredible stuff. So 10% off with any given Sunday code. Make sure you get around them. Danny?
So, the injuries list this week is a lot of big names, which is never good for all us NFL fans out there. First off, Lane Johnson, the offensive tackle for the Eagles, went down, right ankle injury. The reviews are saying that it's looking better than they originally thought, and hopefully he's going to return quickly. But anyone who's an Eagles fan or is watching any of the games, they know as soon as he goes down, the Birds lose, which was evident this week. Christian McCaffrey, the running back for the 49ers, he injured his oblique after getting his touchdown, of course.
Oblique or rib, they were saying?
In games. Well, McCaffrey loves to keep his cards to his chest, so it's come out officially as an oblique injury, but could potentially be his rib. Cool. He doesn't like to announce it or where the injury is because he doesn't want people coming after him. So that's he fair. Keeps all those cards very, very close to him, and unsure whether he's going to miss any time at this stage. We'll find out probably later in the week. Ryan Tannehill, the QB for the Titans, he went down with a right ankle. The issue for him, it was the same right ankle that ended his season in 2022. So they've got a bye next week. Maybe looking at potential week 8 return, depends on severity. Justin Fields injured his right thumb, left in the third and didn't return. Still unsure whether it's broken or not. But there's been other players that have broken or dislocated thumbs and come back within like a 2-week period. So they're hoping for a similar thing. Trevor Lawrence actually went down with a knee injury, much to T-Mac's surprise, thinking that he wasn't playing in this short week. He's playing again on this Thursday night football. Not looking like a long-term injury, but there's going to be more tests done today to see that. Jimmy G, Karts, your man, went down with a back injury, left in an ambulance. Never a good sign.
Just going for tests.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's just a precautionary test, but anyone who leaves the stadium in an ambulance isn't good.
It's not great.
No, so it's unclear whether he'll miss next week's game against the Bears. We're just waiting to see on that one. David Montgomery for the Lions also injured his ribs. Another loss for the Lions because Jahmyr Gibbs still is already sidelined, so it doesn't leave much room for the Lions and the running back part of the team. And then Deebo Samuel for the 49ers, he went down with a right shoulder injury. He left just after 8 snaps. The x-ray was negative. He's getting the MRI done today. And I also just wanted to touch on Anthony Richardson. He obviously injured his shoulder last week, and they said it was a grade 3 sprain, and he's gone to see 5 or 6 different specialists. And one of them is saying you potentially might have to have season-ending surgery. Mm. And then all the people are like, it's a grade 3 sprain. You don't need a surgery. But there's certain grade 3 sprains where it's bad enough that the ligaments are actually torn and therefore you will need surgery. So that's what one of these specialists has picked up. So it could be absolutely damaging for the Colts if he goes down, because Minshew Mania just had his probably worst game as a Colt so far in their loss. So really though, we were hoping for AR to be back within that 4-week mark. Still not confirmed whether he's going to take that surgery, but tough start for him in his rookie year.
See, this is why we have Dr. Danny. For little bits of gem like that, we're all thinking just a grade 3 sprain, he'll be back in a few weeks. No, not the case. He could be gone for the year.
Yeah, which it would be absolutely heartbreaking for the Colts, because he came out, did so well in training camp, they're like, no, you're going to be our starter. You're our starter going forward.
But it's a tight, it's one of those things, would you risk it? Like, you got to get it right, surely.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, if it was a grade 2 sprain, there's absolutely no surgery, not even a little sniff of surgery. But the fact that it is that grade 3, the potential's there.
Hmm. Disappointing for him, but hopefully he can. Hopefully it's not as bad, and we do see him back this year. But yeah, like I said, you just got to get it right.
Dr. Danny with his fingers on the pulse, literally like a doctor.
All over it. All over it.
All right. Other injuries though. While we're here, do we just touch on Aaron Rodgers' pre-game throwing absolute dimes? Like he even had a couple little little steps. It's been what, like
35 days.
Why is he not in a boot?
Since injury, and he's pitter-pattering his feet before he throws. Like, that scares me. Like, just watching him, it's scary. So whatever this miracle surgery that he had, or whatever other form of, you know, healing regime that he's doing, it's working.
Ayahuasca is a hell of a drug. That's what I've heard.
I think that's just an off-season thing. I don't know if he's talking about mid-season.
No, that is huge. And it might come up a bit later on in something, but if he makes it back, like, that's next level. Not even just for football, just for surgeries and shit like that. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah, so I'm assuming he wasn't the first person to get this done, and there would have been other incidents. But as far as a professional athlete, this is the first I've heard of it.
Yeah. Right, yeah. It'll be very interesting if we do see him back. All right, we've picked 3 games to review. But before we get to those games, I'll quickly just run through all the rest of the results, which I fantastically did not have up in front of me ready to go, which is perfect by me. We've just seen the latest game, but we'll start all the way back on Friday, which we've already reviewed. The Chiefs, 19 over the Broncos, the 8. Ravens, Titans over in London. Ravens getting the job done, 24-16. Commanders getting a cheeky little win over the Falcons, 24-16. Vikings getting the job done against the Bears, 19-13. Seahawks, Meigs, who's on the chat, I believe, Cards. She won't be happy. 17-13 down to the Bengals. Niners, Browns, we're going to talk about. Saints and Texans. Cheeky good game. 20-13 for the Texans getting the win there. Colts, Jags, 37-20 for the Jags. Dolphins getting another good win to move to 5-1. 42-21 over the Panthers. Cards, your Raiders, 21-17 over the Pats. Yes, happy man. The Lions just keep rolling on, 20-6 over the Bucks. Surprisingly good win. I thought it would be a bit tighter than that. Rams getting the job done over the Cardinals, 26-9. Eagles, Jets, we're probably going to talk, well, we are talking about. And Giants, Bills, we're going to talk about. And we've just seen the Cowboys, 20-17 over the Chargers. Any of those games stand out to you, boys, before we get into the other three?
The Dolphins game against the Panthers, when they went down 14-0 to start, I was like, what's going on here? Like, are they gonna choke? And they just bloody do Miami things and just absolutely bounce back. and it's crazy. The Tyreek Hill and the Tua connection, unbelievable. Like, it's got to be one of the most beautiful things to watch in football.
They are flying. I think for what we said was a pretty, I think you said maybe, Danny, it was going to be a pretty straightforward week, pretty obvious week for tipping and whatnot. There was probably a few more like one score games than maybe what we're expecting too. So there was a few closer ones, and then obviously the upsets, which we're going to touch on in a sec.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to get right into it. The 49ers and the Browns. Alfie the Brown. he got a big W against the 49ers, which I think everyone, besides maybe Browns fans, thought that the 49ers are just going to roll in there. No Deshaun. They're just going to absolutely run an absolute train over these Browns. But, Karts, I think you said it after the win. Have we been sleeping on the Browns?
We certainly have. We haven't been talking about them at all. Apparently, they're a number one defense in the league. Because we were just sort of live texting during the game. We're like, geez, the Browns' defense have been strong. And you come back and said, I think they're number one ranked or something. I was like, oh. That makes sense. Like, they were very disruptive throughout the whole game. Obviously, as Danny mentioned in Dr. Danny's report, like Debo going down early, I think he lasted eight offensive snaps, and he was down. Then McCaffrey was out early in the first half. Early in the second half, only lasting 4 snaps, I think, of the second half. So losing 2 of your weapons there, like we were talking about it, like a lot of the people that have been hating on Purdy are going to use this game as justification, but like you lose 2 of your key weapons like that, any quarterback's going to struggle. Like, yeah, he wasn't as productive. He 12 of 27 for only 125 yards, and he did have that first interception for the year. But losing your weapons, like, it's going to throw any system out, and any quarterback is going to struggle losing, and particularly McCaffrey too. Like, he's just such an asset for them.
He is the asset, isn't he?
Mate, yeah, he's so dynamic. And yeah, Purdy, yeah, look, unfortunately had a down game, and I don't know, for the back of that, the 49ers end up getting rolled. But it did come down to, he did have that sort of good last drive, and then it came down to a field goal. So poor old Jake Moody, the kicker for San Fran, he actually missed two field goals. He missed an earlier one, maybe in the first quarter. I think the Browns kicker missed one as well, and then had the chance to, it was almost a little chip. They were sort of that close. It might have been a 40-yard attempt in the end, but, you know, that's pretty straightforward for kickers. Most of the time, it was a bit of a breeze, but just faded it right, and it just stayed. And yeah,
and it was, I think that was the issue in the first half. He pulled it to the left, and then in the second half, he pushed it to the right. So obviously, it was in his head a little bit for missing that first one. And just to jump back on Purdy for a bit, it was definitely like one of his worst games. And yeah, okay, he didn't have his weapons out there, but his completion rate was only 44% when he came into this game at the league leading average at 72%. So, like, he's human as well. He just had a game where he played like a normal human rather than playing at his elite level, but missing those two massive weapons. He did, like, really try and push to get him back down in that last drive, and actually got him into field goal range in those final few seconds. Like, that was the best drive that he probably had of the game. It was just unfortunate that Jake Moody happened to miss that, yeah, that 41-yard one.
And it was like, it was perfect clock management and everything like that. And it was just a simple, straightforward kick. And yeah, unfortunately for Moods, couldn't get it done.
Yeah. But I think we do have to say, yes, Purdy had a down day, but he was playing, as we've now know, the number one defense. Like, was it five or six games? Six games, we've only allowed 1,000 yards. Like, that's incredible. And that's the best by any team ever. Like, Myles Garrett is an absolute monster. But they've all got around him. They're all like, it's incredible. But also on the other side of the ball, PJ Walker, 18 for 34, 192, did throw two interceptions. So the Niners wagon still kept going as well. But on the ground, they really, really dominated. Jerome Ford, 17 attempts for 84 yards. Kareem Hunt, 12 attempts for 47.
And a TD.
160 yards on the ground, which would be one of the highest against that front of the San Fran defense.
Yeah, that rushing game, that's what essentially won them the game on offense. Like, yeah, we've talked about how their defense was really good, but it was the rushing game. PJ Walker, yeah, serviceable, but, you know, as the backup, through those two interceptions and no TD. So, yeah, the rushing game got him over the line there.
But chalked his first win as a starter against the 49ers, which people are talking about at the Super Bowl. Contending team. That's great stats to have.
Yeah. Oh, he'd be wrapped. Don't get me wrong.
Hang it on the wall. quick shout out to
49ers defense is nothing to like sneeze at. Like, oh, they, no. they're elite level defense. The fact that they got it done, but man, seeing those Browns fans are wrapped when Moody missed that field goal. You said that maybe even Browns fans weren't expecting to win this. I think every team going in there, whether you feel like you got no chance or not, you wanted to win. Like, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
we had it on in the mess, and everyone was just, blown away. Like, it was a good reaction.
It was. Good to watch. Before we move on to the next game, we might leave your Phillies till last, Danny, just to really drive it home. But before we go on, quick shout out to Aussie Mitch Wisnowski. Six punts at an average of 45, and two of them inside the 20 and a long of 60. So good day for him at the 49ers.
He's doing his job. He was holding well. You know,
He was. Yeah, he didn't do anything wrong in that final field goal. So
no.
Game, we're going to skip the Philly. We'll go on to the Giants and the Bills. And I just want a quick shout out to both teams. It happened today's game as well. A fight before the game, and there was flags before the first throw. I love it. That's gross. Good on those boys for getting out there. But the Giants, although they lost the game, they were the biggest underdogs of the season. 16.5 points leading into the game. Oof. To come in and make a game of it is absolutely incredible. What are your thoughts, boys?
So the Bills obviously barely hung on with this game. The probably best part of their whole day was their red uniforms. They're fire.
Oh, incredible.
I think, were they shut out for the whole first three quarters? Definitely first half. I reckon it might have been all three quarters.
Three quarters.
That was shutting up. And then Allen went on, obviously, two lengthy drives to get the two touchdowns to get him to win the game. But, like, the game was ultimately decided on the untimed downs that the Giants had at the end. So there was a flag thrown on their last play, giving him another shot to actually get it done. And then that play also potentially could have been done for pass interference again.
Well, no call on the tight end Waller. Like, he was clearly held pretty much from as soon as he got into the end zone to right where he nearly made the catch one-handed. He was pretty much held the whole way. And, yeah, massive no call. So,
which is super, super tough for the Giants there, because that they could have taken away the game. And with the way they were pushing towards the end, like, obviously, Daboll made a very interesting decision to end the first half with his little time management, left it with no timeouts with the ball on the one-yard line. And there was like 3 seconds left to go and they couldn't get the snap away. So they could have settled for a field goal on the play before that, which would have been fine because it was Saquon Barkley that got stopped at 1 yard line.
Yeah. So I think from what the commentators were saying, like, a bit of that went on Taylor, the quarterback, as well, because he optioned. So he taps his helmet. That means they're taking the option of the second play, which was a running play. But the commentators were crucifying Taylor for taking a running play in that situation because obviously the clock wasn't going to stop and they just ran out of time. He couldn't spike the ball. The clock ran out and they didn't end up getting a score there, like you said. So Daboll for not taking the field goal earlier and then Taylor for going with the run play there at the 1 yard line, I think it was, or 3 yard line.
Yeah, so the question really, it's got to come down to the Bills still jet lagged. Like, they were jet lagged when they were playing in London. Then they came back and they played this game and they kind of seemed nowhere up until that last quarter. They're kind of, Bills at the moment, they're almost playing to the ability of the teams that they're playing. So they're not playing the elite level that they should be. So if they play a average team like the Giants, who are missing Daniel Jones, two starting offensive linemen, and they go in and just play like an incredibly average game against the average team, they're not doing what like a lot of other teams who went out and faced the Giants and absolutely dominated them. So I don't know if it's a bit of a mental thing or what's going on in the Bills locker room.
Yeah, Josh Allen definitely came out and said, we need to be so much better on offense. And I think that's, you've probably put that really well there. They're playing to the level of the teams they're facing each week. And yeah, they've got to get out of that sort of mind space.
Yeah, so Allen finished for 19 of 30 for only 169 yards, passing with two touchdowns, which we said was in that last quarter, and an interception. And then Taylor came out, obviously replacing Danny Dimes for 24 of 36 for 200 yards.
Dimes.
Yeah. It was a real gritty game by the Giants. They just kept it within touch the entire time until obviously the last quarter. And shout out to Barkley as well. First game back after that ankle. 24 attempts for 93 yards. He started off real slow, and then I think it was in the third quarter, got popped two in a row for 25 and 30 yards and just really got the ball moving for the Giants. You mentioned the offensive line of the Giants. Did anyone see the start where they introduced the teams?
Oh,
straight off the couch. And he literally was signed during the week, and 2 weeks ago he was on the couch. So I rate that intro.
What a legend.
Yeah.
I just can't believe they're allowed to say whatever they want in those intros. I thought ESPN or Fox or whoever's running broadcast would be much more.
About the other week, George Kittle with tight end university, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just one other thing out of the game. Damian Harris went down injured at, I'm not sure what point of the game it was, but left in an ambulance. There was obviously a bit of concern around a neck injury and stuff like that. He did have movement and feeling in his extremities and that. So that was real positive out of that. I think he gave a bit of a thumbs up before going into the back of the ambulance too. So, a bit of not great teams for the Bills again, obviously going through that. I think DeMar Hamlin was on the sideline. He was ruled ineligible. He was ineligible for the game. But, yeah, so not great for the Bills to go through that again, but obviously positive that Harris, some positive.
He's all good. That's good. Actually,
all good, but we don't know yet, but yeah. Positive news.
Positive news. It's not funny, but I actually got a phone call from mum and dad. And they said, we just saw on the news that another Bills player went down. And I didn't see that. So I'm only hearing it now. So sorry, Mum. I was like, nah, that'd be silly. They must have just been bringing up DeMar Hamlin from last year or something. But there you go. Someone did go off in an ambulance.
There was another one.
So, all right. We've held it for long enough, Danny. Let's get on to it. Philly losing their unbeaten streak against the Jets. Do you want to start us off, mate, or do you want Cass to tear you down?
No, I'll just talk about how it ended. So Philly... obviously coming up against, I know we were just talking about the Browns having the best defense, but the Jets defense needs to be applauded for everything they've done, and I'll get onto that a little bit later. But to end the game, Tony Adams had an interception. I think he returned for like 45 yards or something like that, which then led to Breece Hall's 8-yard touchdown with a minute 46 remaining in the game.
Walking, barely touched.
Barely touched, and Philly were obviously doing that. We're talking about that off air. Philly were obviously doing that to try and, you know, have as much time left on the clock to try and come back. And we said maybe you should have taken a like slid or took a knee, tried to knock some more time off the clock. But anyway, they went in and it didn't really matter because the final play, Jalen
Hurts. Well, they did. They grabbed a 2-point conversion as well.
Yeah. And then Jalen Hurts obviously had that massive throw to Devontae Smith, and it was just out of reach, and then they kind of sealed the game on that fourth down. The Jets, though, interestingly, like the defense have taken down the top five QBs, three of the top five QBs throughout, and they've only allowed one touchdown in the second half total for the season. It is unbelievable what they're doing.
Crazy.
Hurts finished 28 of 45 for 280 yards, one touchdown, but three interceptions, which is ties his career high. I think he had was it eight for all of last year? And he's already racked up a few.
It was without Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed for the Jets. Yeah. So put their starting cornerbacks. So that's not great signs for Jalen there.
Yeah, and Wilson just played with such a calm, Zach Wilson, just played with such a calm head. He only had 19 of 33, 186 yards, no touchdowns, but he also had no turnovers, which is something that was always been a bit of an issue with him. Quinnen Williams had an interception, and then Quincy Williams recovered a fumble. It would have been incredible if both the brothers could have got an interception there.
That's the first time a pair of brothers on the same team have got a takeaway, but there was the same game about 10 years ago, opposite sides, they both got a takeaway. But yeah, huge for the Williams family.
Yeah, and what I was saying before about the quarterbacks, like they've obviously faced Allen, beat them, faced the Chiefs and Mahomes. The Chiefs actually got it done, but it was super close. So Allen only threw one touchdown and three interceptions, and we're like, oh, he's just playing terrible. It's his first game back. But then Mahomes comes out, he threw one touchdown and two interceptions. Like, oh, it's just Mahomes must be having an off game. Then Hurts only throws one touchdown and three interceptions. Like, they're the three betting favorites for MVP this year.
Yeah.
And the Jets defense absolutely stifled them all. Like, it needs to stop being a conversation of these quarterbacks having a bad game against the Jets. It's the Jets' dominant defense that has taken it down. Like, Robert Saleh came out and said, like, we've embarrassed all of them. We might not have gotten all wins, but we've embarrassed these quarterbacks. Yeah. That's absolutely true.
Absolutely. Well said. Oregon, you finished it on that one, mate. You've done well. Yeah, I don't think there's much more to say about that one. So.
Great deflecting away from the Eagles.
Yeah, well done.
Make it all about the Jets. I like it.
Right. Like I said at the start, as soon as Lane Johnson goes down, we're in trouble.
Hey, that's smart.
Yeah. You did well. I should learn a little bit about how to deflect better by you. But we'll get straight into...
It's time for questions without notice.
Now, I've gone a little bit different with the questions without notice today. We've gone good call, bad call, I want to hear, and then...
Okay.
Whoa, calm down. There's a couple of questions I just want to throw at you boys and just think, is it the right thing or, are we overreacting a little bit here? So the first one, there's three of them. First one leads straight off that game. Are the Jets still a playoff danger if the miracle happens and Rodgers gets back on the field?
Oh, good call.
So I think they're a playoff danger. Or I feel like they're going to make the playoffs, regardless. With the defense is just going to be able to keep them in it enough. So what, they're 3-3 now, and they've had an incredibly tough start, really. Their schedule hasn't been good. Like we said, they're playing a bunch of contenders. So if Rodgers comes back, 100%, they're going to, like, all they were missing was the Super Bowl leading quarterback. Then they got one, then he went out after four plays. So if he can come back and just, because even Zach's playing better with Aaron Rodgers just there, just on the field. It's just keeping him in a calm head. So if he can do that just to one, like just to the QB, imagine what he's going to do for the rest of the offensive side of the ball. And I think if he does come back, like the offensive line are going to be like, we can't let anyone touch him. Yeah. He needs to be untouchable because he's come back for us to actually have a chance at this.
I think good call, but they are in such a stacked division. That's going to be the biggest
Making
thing.
Making it to that point will be the tough part.
They've got to stay in touch. But yeah.
Smart. Jim Schwartz. Do you know who Jim Schwartz is? He's the Browns' defensive coordinator, and he was only appointed this year. Has that been the best coaching appointment so far?
I'm going to have to say yes.
Proof's in the pudding, isn't it?
You never know who the poor bugger was.
Yep. Jim Swartz, best DC of the year. Fair enough. Don't have any more to say about it. This one, I think we'll get a little bit of chatter. It's another coaching question. Is the coach of the year race already down to two coaches? Texans, D'Amico Ryan. Lions, Dan Campbell. Surely no one else can get it besides those two.
Just trying to think.
Miami.
You reckon McDaniel? But like...
just the culture was created.
Yeah, I don't know if they base it off the back of that. I think it's purely off results. It's like results driven, isn't it?
I would have thought it'd be, especially teams that... the only thing is the Lions, everyone thought they were going to be this way. I don't think anyone thought that the Texans were going to be as good as they have been so far.
That'll be in D'Amico's favour for sure.
They go by normally, you know, what everyone expected compared to what they've delivered.
Yeah, well, in that case, yeah, they're probably the only two.
But then what about Steichen at the Colts, maybe? Depending how the Colts season finishes off, he might be...
well, everyone had them. A lot of people had them as the worst in the league. So,
well, that's what I mean. So he might be another one that could possibly come into that conversation. But outside of those three, probably not too many more. I think would really trouble the scorers there. Yeah, no, good call.
I don't think Texans make the playoffs. So if the Lions do, which you know they're well and truly on the way, is it like surely it's Dan Campbell's
MCDC? Yeah, you got it. Exactly. Reward the team that is more successful for sure.
Yeah.
But a lot of people had the Lions taking out the division. A lot of people were like, we've gone back to you saying that it's expectations versus results. Everyone was expecting him to be good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, but, you know, if they can go into the playoffs, they don't name it till late, do they? So if they go into the playoffs, maybe get a playoff win and just keep moving. Like, this is the best Lions team possibly ever. Like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's Dan Campbell's. D'Amico hasn't run away with it yet. Dan Campbell's definitely out there, but it's down to those two, in my opinion.
Dan's to lose, you reckon? I like
it. Yeah. So, all right, let's move on to this week's review of the game.
Well, should we quickly just cover off on our locks of the week results from the week before we get into preview mode? So we're all successful last week, which is great. So, Danny boy, you went with the Chiefs, I believe. So you've moved to 3 points.
Early Chief call.
Yeah, early Chief call. Mackey, you took the Bills. So you're on 4. Charlie also took the Bills. And he took... so Charlie's playing a little bit of catch-up. So we gave him 2. I think we need to give him 2 again this week.
Just
to keep it fair. He took Miami and the Bills. We'll be a bit stricter on... him just taking outright bloody favourites.
Yeah, $1.10 favourites.
He's on 2. And then I took the Raiders and they got up for me. So I'm on 3. So you're out in front at the moment on 4.
I multied our locks last week and it didn't win. I should have multied them this week.
Oh, yeah, this week, mate.
Anyway. So our review, Jags at the Saints. And I actually think if you looked at this one at the start of the year, you'd be thinking, you know, probably a bit of a downer game. The Jags are just going to absolutely roll the Saints. I think this is going to be a cheeky good game, especially the fact that it's in, I still believe it's the Mercedes Dome down in New Orleans.
Caesar's Superdome.
There you go. I think this will be a cheeky good game, and the Saints are going to be a hell of a lot more competitive than what we think.
Well, yeah, Derek Carr is going to be... you know, leading those Saints. We don't know what is going to be happening with Trevor Lawrence. Still a big question mark on that. So if Trevor Lawrence isn't playing, I actually don't know Jacksonville's QB depth. But
you keep fluffing and I'll find it.
From memory, I think it's maybe someone who went pretty late in the draft who's going to be backing up Trevor Lawrence if he isn't playing.
CJ Berthard.
Oh, yeah. So he's come from... I know he was at San Fran. He played a little bit there. They're very, not quite probably Gardner Minshew type, but a handy replacement regardless. But I think the Saints, you know, with the inclusion of Alvin Kamara the last couple of weeks, are definitely just getting on a roll, even though they lost this week. But being back at home, I think, there'll be a cheeky chance to actually get on top of the Jags, especially if Trevor Lawrence isn't there. because well, Ridley didn't really have that game that we thought. And how what stage did he go out of the game, Trevor?
Fluff.
Late or doesn't matter, because he didn't really have a great game either. And I was kind of going to throw the question to you earlier, but we might as well throw it now. I don't think we've had the numbers from the guys that we're expecting. Like, I reckon he had like 180 yards or something like that last week. Some of these guys, they're playing game management type games and just getting the win. So being that, could CJ Beathard come in and actually just be a game manager and, you know, dink and donk his way around? Etienne in the backfield doing what he needs to do.
Etienne and Ridley sort of, yeah, both hitting their straps a bit. Yeah, I agree with Danny. I think it's so dependent on Trevor's health and his status of if he's going to play or not. I'm going to take the Jags, though.
Just on his status, he's gone for an MRI today. They believe it is just a sprain. There's nothing significant at this point. They're still going for an MRI today to confirm it. It was with 3:10 remaining in the game. So he pretty much had it.
So extremely late. But so the Jags offense is 12th overall with T-Law, obviously. Saints defense is 8th. So another team that we're kind of just sleeping on a little bit.
That's okay.
Yeah, if they can get to the QB, especially if it is T-Law with a bit of a sprung knee, like they could cause some damage. And then on the other side, the offense of the Saints is 16th, which is not, it's mid-pack. But the defense of the Jags is actually 23rd. So could be a game where Carr hits up Kamara, hits up Thomas, hits up Olave, and might be able to just really get his way through the Jacksonville defense.
Yeah, absolutely. There is all that chance, and I reckon that's why Saints are the favourite. I don't have the line in front of me, though.
They're 3-point favourites.
The Saints are?
Yeah, $1.63 head-to-head, and then, yeah, they're 3-point favourites at the line.
Yeah, I reckon this will be a sneaky good game. 3 points is probably about right. And being the fact that it's down in the Caesars Palace Superdome.
In New Orleans.
In New Orleans. I reckon...
Caesars Superdome.
Caesars Superdome. I reckon Kamara back at home will have a big game, and the Derek Carr and the boys will get it done.
Just with the question marks looming over Trevor Lawrence, you've got to give it to the Saints.
Even if he plays, surely he's going to be sore and not getting around.
Yeah, with the short week as well, playing on Sunday and then going on Thursday, I would assume they'd probably try and rest him.
Yeah. So I'm going. What are you boys picking?
Yeah, I'm the Saints.
All right. Sounds like Saints across the board, probably covering easily. Alvin Kamara for a touchdown and the Lave for a big game. There you go.
I just said Jags.
You said the Jags?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that. So hang on. With Trevor Lawrence under an injury, do you still reckon they're getting the job done?
He's going to be healthy. I'm back. He's going to be healthy.
No? Fair enough. All right. Two of us. Bigger than that. Grouse. All right, boys. That'll do. Well done. We'll talk about it. I was going to say who your team's playing, but we'll discuss that later on in the week. Good luck to everyone going this week, and we'll speak to you later on, episode 2.
See you, fam.
Get out.